Welcome to the Stonegate Women Podcast. This episode is from our Behold Become 2026 conference. We're so glad that you've joined to listen. Enjoy.
I'm so glad to see you. My name is Colleen Searcy. I am on staff at the Village Church, so just about an hour north of here. I'm the adult discipleship minister there. The main part of my job is I lead and teach women's Bible study, and I write curriculum for our men's and women's Bible study. So that's my job, what I do 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And then I also have a very small ministry called Meet Me in the Bible, and I do have a Bible study series that's published by Crossway. I wanted to show them to you. They're a unique Bible study, and I'll be out there after our session today if these interest you. Like this is Colossians and Philemon, and I created a framework for Bible study. It's kind of like if you've ever seen an ESV journal, I took that idea and then combined it with a Bible study reading guide. So every Bible study comes with its own bookmark. The bookmark has prompts that are evergreen. So you can use your bookmark to study any book of the Bible. And then the bookmark prompts coincide with the spaces that are in your book. And so you'll study Colossians and Philemon, and you'll mark up the scriptures. The scriptures are right here for you. And then you'll use the prompts on your bookmark, and you'll fill in your answers here. And so while you're studying Colossians and Philemon, you're learning the tools to study any book of the Bible, okay? And in the back of the workbook are all kinds of tools. One of my favorites is that I made just a super simple timeline of the whole story of the Bible. So you can look at it in one page and kind of get your mind around this one story. And then you can put a little X marks the spot where wherever book you're studying, where it lands in a biblical context. And so there's all kinds of tools like that. So if that interests you, I wanted to let you know I'll be here afterwards out in the foyer back there. But it's great to see you. I'm just going to jump in with our topic because I feel like this is a really important topic for women, especially, and it's the treasure of hidden seasons. And that word hidden, I know we know what hidden means, but it just helps to hear a definition. It means to be out of sight, to be unseen. It means remote, solitary, quiet. Those are the synonyms given for hidden. So unseen, being out of sight, remote, solitary, quiet. And the reason I feel like this is such an important topic, especially for women, is we will absolutely go through stretches of years where we feel this. We feel solitary. The years, we may feel remote, certainly out of sight. And I'm not an expert in a lot of things, but I am talking from experience when I talk about hidden years. I want to begin our time together with a story, and this story happens to be about my oldest son, Sam. He's 25 now. He's an adult. But Sam was born to be an adult. Like even when he was a toddler, he had just no interest in toys. Like we gave him Tupperware for Christmas one year. Like we finally embraced it. Like don't buy him toys. We told everybody he doesn't want to play toys. His playing was pretending to be an adult. And so we just gave him real things. And sometimes they weren't even new. And he was like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. You know, he just had no interest in childhood. It was a very interesting experience. And all through Sam's childhood, he would say, I cannot wait to be an adult. And we all just want to chuckle, right? Because all of us want to go be told to take a nap right now, right? I do. Like, go play. Really? Okay, right. But he would say all the time, I cannot wait to be an adult. And so what this looked like when he was 6 years old, he decided he wanted to be a pilot. And so our home became his airport, complete with signage that he made. Okay, so he made terminal signs, gate signs. He even made a public restroom sign for the bathroom he shared with his little brother. He was all the way, and Sam is very immersive. Like, he was all in, made a beverage cart out of Tinker Toys that worked. Y'all, crazy. But yeah, so our home became his airport. It was a little embarrassing when we had our home group over or friends over, right? All these signs scotch taped to the doors. But when somebody was like, hey, where's the bathroom? I'm like, Terminal C. And so we had that going for us. One night when Wes and I came in to sit down for dinner, we noticed on the backs of our kitchen chairs, these skinny little signs on the back that said seat bottom may be used for flotation. Like, he was that into it. But I start here because you and I know what Sam meant as a little guy when he said, I cannot wait to be an adult. What he meant was, I don't want to wait for the privileges that come with adulthood. I don't want to wait all these years that I'm supposed to wait before the privileges that accompany adulthood. And he was not considering the burdens that you bear as an adult. So Sam wanted to drive to Sonic anytime he wanted, right? But he wasn't thinking about car insurance or renewing his tags, right, for his car, which he is thinking about now. And now he's going, I can't believe I said, I cannot wait to be an adult. And I was like, we tried to tell you, by the way, Terminal C, right? You know, reminding him. But he wanted all the importance and the privileges that came with being a pilot or with owning a car. He wanted to be able to make decisions without all those pesky years of childhood, going to school every day, learning how to spell, taking math tests, making his bed, all these mundane tasks that seem like they don't matter. I start there because life can feel like that still. You don't have to be a little guy or a young girl to feel like my life feels like a lot of mundane tasks stacked up that don't feel like they really matter. There are seasons of adulthood that feel hidden, unseen, stacked up with mundane tasks that don't seem to matter. And I call those the hidden seasons. And I think I certainly can relate. Can you relate to longing for the privileges that are accompanying someone else's season? Right? Isn't it easy to always kind of look over the edge of the fence to someone else's season and go, I can't wait to be there. But when we're looking at somebody else's circumstances or season, we're looking for the privileges that seem to accompany what their circumstances, but we aren't considering the burdens or the hidden years that took them to get there. Like I said, I can speak to this. I know about hidden seasons and waiting. Hungering for something else, feeling unseen. I'm in my 50s now. I'm an empty nester. And I was talking to Julie earlier. It's a recent thing for me to get to be doing the very things I used to long to be doing. But I spent my 20s and my 30s and my 40s hidden, unseen, doing just work that maybe that felt like it didn't matter or that maybe no one else noticed. My husband works at a missions organization now, but for years he was a pastor. And when we would have people over for dinner, guess who everybody wanted to talk to and pick his brain? The pastor, right? Even though I'm studying the Bible and learning, and I was like, oh, ask me, pick me, you know, when they would throw out these deep theological questions that they weren't pitched to me. And I felt hidden. I felt hidden and unseen. And then raising kids at home, I was a school teacher for years, and just doing the task, just the daily task. And ministry for me, a lot of times looked like 10 middle school students in my living room, discipling them, teaching them how to study the Bible, or meeting 15 women at Corner Bakery and doing a Bible study together. And all of it mattered. Here's what was hard. I have friends, contemporaries that I've known for a long time, that we all started this journey on studying the Bible together and teaching the Bible, and they grew famous and they were publishing Bible studies and writing books years before I was. And so I would look at them and go, what am I doing wrong? Or a life circumstance would land on top of us. So I would have to go back and work, go back to the school, go back to the classroom, which I loved, while the friends that we were all doing the same things and the same aspirations were way ahead of me. Does that make sense? And so that just, man, that fed that feeling of I'm hidden, I'm unseen, what am I doing wrong? But I can testify to the beauty and the necessity of being hidden and share some of the beauty that's come out of that. So what we're going to do today, that's a little bit of my story. We're going to look at four different people in the scriptures that spent a lot of their life hidden, yet they were heroic enough to be recorded in the scriptures. And each of these people impacted the people of God in a monumental way. So you see them there on your handout. Don't get all, you're going to have time to do that in just a minute. But the people we're going to talk about are Rebecca in Genesis, Jael in Judges, Anna in the Gospel of Luke, and then, of course, Jesus. And listen, one story is super romantic. We're going to start out on a super romantic story. The next story is really gruesome. So there's a little something for everybody, all right? Whatever your flavor is. So look at your handout there. You can see Rebecca. Her story is recorded. A lot of her story is recorded in Genesis chapter 24. We're not going to read 67 verses together today for time's sake, but I wanted you to have the reference if you want to go back and read the whole thing later. So we're going to jump into her story. So I want to set it up for you because the context matters, right? So here's kind of what's happened right before we jump into Rebecca's story. Abraham, the patriarch of the Jews, had grown old. He had also grown very wealthy. He's been living in Canaan for a while. Sarah has recently passed away. Sarah, his wife, the matriarch of the Jews, she has died. And before Abraham dies, he wants to properly pass the baton to his son, Isaac. And he wants to make sure that Isaac is settled down and married to a nice Jewish girl. Like that's what he wants. And so Abraham tells his trusted servant, it makes a big deal in the scriptures about how much Abraham trusted this guy. So he trusts this servant. The servant was in charge of all that Abraham had. And Abraham sent the servant back out of Canaan, back to Abraham's homeland to choose a bride for Isaac. So he's trusting this servant with this important task because Abraham doesn't want Isaac to have a bride from among the Canaanites. So where we're going to pick it up in the story is the servant, his journey to go choose a bride for Isaac. So we're going to pick it up in Genesis chapter 24. So if you want to find that in your Bible or on your device, I'm going to look it up too. And I'm going to read verses 10 through 21. And then you're going to have some time to discuss at your table. And I just want us to be like really comfortable friends today. And I don't want you to be afraid when I like go, hey, somebody share what you said around your table. And I'll like point to an area, but I would love for you. There's no wrong answer today. This is a discussion. So we're in Genesis chapter 24 and we're picking it up in verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. So he's got great timing, right? He's a smart guy. Verse 12, and he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who shall also say, drink, and I will water your camels. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. So I love that the first thing he does is pray. he asks the Lord to bless this endeavor. Look at verse 15. And he's got a good strategy, right? Let's see who goes the extra mile, right? Not just to give him water, but camels water too. Verse 15, before he had finished speaking, I love that. Behold, Rebecca, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. And then the servant ran to meet her. He runs to meet her. There's a lot of running. Okay, so they're very eager in this story. The servant runs to meet her and said, please give me a little water to drink from your jar. And she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also. Ding, 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 ding. Here she is. All right. Until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water. And she drew for all his camels. Little side note here. If you go into the history of this, she would have run back and forth multiple times in order to water all of the camels of this servant. So she is going way and above board, serving this servant. All right. Verse 21, the man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. And I'm just going to spoil the story and tell you she is the one. She is the one. So now that we've read those verses, what I want you to do is you've got some questions there on your handout. And then you'll even see underneath there, continue with her story. And I've got a few more verses for you to read. And I want you to read those and then answer each of these questions. I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that around your table. And then we'll come back together and talk about Rebecca a few more minutes. That captured my attention too. Same thing. So Rebecca routinely retrieved water from a desert well every single day. Like that was every day for her. Nahor was a teeny, teeny, tiny settlement. It was not Ur or Babylon in Mesopotamia. Those were bustling cities. That's not where she lives. So she lives probably a very quiet life. And we see her in this story eagerly serve a servant. And then if you did take that peek into later, she does indeed become the next matriarch of the Jewish people. She marries Isaac. She gives birth to two twins, Esau and Jacob, and Esau and Jacob become two nations. Esau becomes the nation of Edom. Jacob becomes the nation of Israel. Jacob, from whom the 12 tribes of Israel, the Jewish people, rise. And from whom Jesus will eventually come. So when you think about that, this is she's a significant role in biblical history. This woman who spent probably many years feeling hidden and unimportant. And this obscure story in the Bible has even greater significance in the whole cohesive story of the Bible. I want you to think about this, just this story. You see Abraham, the father, send a trusted servant far away to bring back a bride. That's the story of the Bible. God the Father sends his trusted servant, right? Jesus took on the form of a servant to bring back a bride. It's an important story. And Rebecca was just getting water. Okay? Isaac and Rebecca, after they married, if we were to keep reading, we would read that they waited an excruciating 20 years before having children. They waited a long time, 20 years. It sounds like a rerun a little bit of Abraham and Sarah, except remember Sarah and Abraham panicked and Sarah gave Abraham her maid right, so that she could look like she was having children, and Abraham goes for it. Isaac takes a different approach and he prays for his wife. And they wait a really long time, and then they do have these twins. And I bring that up because waiting is a really important part of hidden seasons. And we see waiting is a theme throughout the whole Bible. Waiting cultivates faith. As Isaac and Rebecca waited for their prayers to be answered, and when Rebecca finally did conceive, the only person to give glory to would have been to God. waiting is a really important way to cultivate faith, to be humbled. And so I just want to have a little ministry moment here and say, is there something you are waiting for?